Hi, everybody. This is John with Out of Character, and we are continuing with our adventures, Wanted in Orinel. This is, of course, our evil game, so as always, you have been warned. Today, I only have one of our loyal players joining me.
Hi, I'm Jason. I'll be playing Kelp Tor, who is a Goliath criminal fighter.
And you are now level 2.
Level 2!
The party is officially level 2. Everyone in the party is officially level 2, not just Jessica. Who started out at a higher level than everyone else, unbeknownst to the rest of you. Last time, certain members of the party utilized the magic, the blue powder that you had found to escape Vespok Fortress, where you had been held prisoner. You had done some wheeling and dealing with the warden. Warden Peril had basically said, like, hey, tell me what you know about this escape, and you don't have, and you can leave. You're not important enough to keep. And you seem to go along with that, whether that was the plan or not. Eventually, it came to pass that one of your old scouts from when you were with Bellatrix's army snuck into your room and said, you're going to get screwed. We need to get you out of here, because the warden's basically going to use you as a scapegoat to save his own neck. Mm-hmm. And you went along with that. So we will be rejoining you immediately outside of the bedchamber, where you have just enjoyed a good night's rest, so you are fully charged back to your good... You feel your old strength returning, you know, mm-hmm. years of just having a door as your primary adversary. Your muscles have kind of fatigued a little, but you've been moving around. So when you get out in the hall, it is, again, a well-lit hallway, kind of a little too well-lit for someone who's just been in a dark room sleeping. Mm-hmm. The woman standing next to you is armed with a knife. And you notice that she is very comely, she's very attractive, but hard at the same time. She's the kind of person who, you know, would get stares walking through the market, but at the same time, she's more than capable of taking care of herself. You know her to be one of your old scouts. Her name was Laura. Mm-hmm. She didn't have a last name because she was orphaned in the God's War. Mm-hmm. Like so many of the people you took on, she was maybe 6. So now she's right around 18. She was always a favorite scout because she had a special ability, which will come to reveal itself soon enough. You do also see the two guards who had been stationed outside of your quarters. They are wearing those familiar black tabards with the twin gold dragons, which identify them, of course, as being in the employ of the Gold Whistle Consortium. They look like something has ripped them apart from the outside. They, throats are just gone, chests are ripped open, ribs are split like toothpicks. Mm-hmm. They both have, like, very similar expressions of just shock and awe on their faces.
I see your technique's improved quite a bit, Laura, since last I saw a sprightly little 8-year-old.
Can't all stay children forever, General.
No, I guess not. But, my, has your technique improved? So, do you have a weapon for me?
She reaches into her pocket and draws out this enormous bag that is just, like, bulging at the sides and hands it to you.
All right.
I had to recover some things from the warden for you.
I look in the bag. What do I got?
You find the items that you had procured earlier, as well as a very battered-looking lantern. You're not sure what the lantern does, but you do find your boomerangs, and you also find your trident.
Well, let's see. I am going to ready my obsidian boomerang.
Okay. So, you're in this hallway. You have corpses laying about. What would you like to do at this point?
I'd like to inspect the corpses.
Okay. Just looking around to see kind of like what
did they have this. Any weapons that would be that I could put in my other hand?
Give me an investigation check.
I got a 3.
You don't know what happened to these guys' weapons. I mean, clearly they must have been. You're not even sure they put up a fight because the state of them. You're guessing that if they had weapons, whatever did this to them might have eaten them. You do find the second guard was armed with a sword, a very nice sword, which looks like it was just snapped in half. Bits of it are on the floor and embedded in his legs and torso.
Fantastic. All right. So, I say, Laura, lead on.
Leading you south down the corridor, you encounter no immediate sign that you are being pursued or that anyone has realized what's going on. So whoever killed these people did so pretty quietly.
Mm-hmm.
She leads you down a series of stairs through some hallways. You're not really sure where you are. You notice that no one's really led you the same way twice while you've been in this part of the inner keep. Mm-hmm. You get the sense that maybe they don't want you to get too good of an idea of the layout of this place. You start to hear, it starts to get colder, and you get the sense from the way she's leading that you're being led down.
Mm-hmm.
The floor is kind of becoming slicker and you smell salt water. And you can hear the distant sound of waves. The quality of the corridors you're being led through has changed. It looks like these might have been tunnels at some point that have been kind of finished off. The walls are still very rough, but the floor is even. And it's clearly had something done to it, or it would probably be pretty slippery in here. You want to keep pressing on?
I will continue to follow Laura.
Okay.
Is it getting darkish?
This part is still pretty well lit.
All right.
So yeah, you can still see. So you notice that those weird lights that have been following you overhead have ceased, and now there is one torch hanging from a bracket by the wall, and a rocky tunnel proceeding onward. The sound of water is like you're standing at the beach at this point. It's clearly just a few yards further along, but the only source of light is that torch. Laura looks to you, takes the torch, offers it to you.
I'll take the torch.
Okay. Your boat's this way. The boatman's been paid well.
Are you not coming with me?
I'll follow shortly. Someone has to make sure that the guards don't cause you any trouble if they do come this way.
Why, thank you, and I'll see you on the shore. Where should I meet you?
Look for me at the Cog and Cudgel. If I'm not there within the next 2 days, go on without me.
Fairly well, and may the light shine on.
Goodbye, General. And she turns, and you... The light of your torch is good for about 30 feet,
mm-hmm.
and you see this girl just go walking along, and as soon as she leaves the source of your light, you hear something much larger moving through this hallway that you've just left. You're not sure what it is, but it's not the footfalls of a muscled woman, more like, a creature.
I give a slight smile.
You going to proceed down the tunnel?
I'm going to proceed down the tunnel.
Okay. So proceeding down this corridor, you feel the stonework cease. Sand, is you can see it beneath your mm-hmm. feet. And you find what looks like it was, at one point it might have been an underground cove that's been converted into a small dock. It's a stonework dock, so there's no wood. It's, mm-hmm. Well made. This thing is the kind of structure that it's exposed to wind, salt water, all the things that are just bad for anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you wished, you could make some kind, try to determine how old it is, but at a glance, this thing's at least 100 years old.
Don't really care. Look for the boatman.
At the dock, there is a small, single-masted boat. You see the cook that you had captured earlier is standing on the dock, mm-hmm. looking very nervous. He is holding a small light source. Looks like it's the sickly green light. It's only giving him maybe light he could read by and making him a very obvious hey, look, I'm here to anyone who happened to be standing in the dark looking for someone.
Mm-hmm.
And the edge of this cove, it's just exposed directly to the sea. So you can see, open water. You can see the fringe of a coastline that that's Oranel. That's home.
A warm feeling enters my heart. I sidle up to the chef.
Woo! He drops his light source and tries to catch it and see if he does. He, with more agility than you would have expected, manages to catch this thing with both hands and holds it up don't do that!
You really should point your attention towards the door whenever you're guarding an area.
There, do you know what's on this boat? I'm turning my attention towards anything that can kill me, and that's a lot of things.
I extend my torch out to the boat.
So, it's not an impressive boat. It's nice enough, but it's not large. It looks like the kind of thing that might... This looks like the kind of thing you would not want to expose to a long sea voyage. This is like maybe like a coast runner. Mm-hmm. The kind of thing that a family might take pride in. A navy would be like, this thing is maybe good for transporting troops to the shore quickly. It is definitely more than one deck. You can tell that just from a glance, because you do see there's a small door leading down. And it's, again, it's nice, but not...
Is it a sailboat? A rowboat?
It is a single-mast sailboat, as far as you can see, but the sails are down.
Mm-hmm. All right, so is there anyone on the boat?
Aside from the boatman, no, you don't see anyone on the boat.
Well, Chef, what's on the boat that makes you so afraid?
First off, my name's Burr, and I'm Chef, so let's...
Burr.
You can call me Burr, I'm the boatman. This is my boat.
You can call me Captain.
I'm the captain.
You're the captain of the boat. I'm a captain of an army.
Captain it is. Captain, that woman threatened my life.
Mm-hmm. As well she should.
And told me that if I didn't take you wherever you want to go, she would truck me to the ends of Ornell and end me.
Oh, that will definitely happen if you don't take me where I want to go.
I agreed without protest. Because... I can't stay here after what's happened. I was with you. The warden knows it. I barely managed to talk my way out of that.
Here's the deal. You take me over to the city. Me, I will depart. And then you can take this boat to wherever you need it to go. Get as far away from the city as you wish.
But if I...
Sell it? Get a wagon? I don't care. All you have to do is take me to the city.
If it was just you, I wouldn't have a qualm about that. But your friends aboard are another matter. I can't get them to listen to reason. You need to talk to them.
Not a problem. All right, I'm going to go and see what's going on with my cohorts.
Okay. So you go down a narrow flight of stairs below deck, and you find a... nicer than you would have expected single chamber. There are some cots that have been built into the wall. Someone brought a very nice rug aboard this thing and covered the floorboards of the deck. And contained within a very cramped space are Poddledanger, Gold Toes, who is carving his name in the very nice wooden table with a that serrated knife he made for himself. And Und, who just looks completely miserable and is holding a very large bucket.
Poor Und.
Poddledanger, just seeing you come in, goes, General!
So, Poddledanger, is everyone ready to go?
We three are, yes. The others couldn't be persuaded to join us, I'm afraid.
Well, that's too bad for them. I'll have Burp cast us off.
You hear from above deck a voice show. My name is Burr, not Burp.
I said Burr.
You can hear the sound of machinery moving from somewhere below you, but you're not sure what it is or where how you would get to it. You feel the ship move and Und just kind of sways and goes a few shades of green.
Mm-hmm. Und, you can do this.
In giant, as always. Un, not like big water.
Un will be free soon. Un can stack on as many people as Un wants.
Poddledanger takes a seat, offering you the opposite bench, which has been well cushioned to allow for even a large Goliath to enjoy not sitting on a splintery wooden bench. So I assume there's a plan for once we reach the shore?
Yes, it's very simple. We reach the shore, I tell Und that he has a choice of going free to do whatever he wishes or following me, and I give the same choice to you two also.
Well, I am a doppelganger of my word. I've pledged to serve the light, and it has returned to me, my children. He shows you those very lovely bracelets you helped him to recover. And you've helped me to escape from a place that I do not wish to return to. With that in mind, I think that perhaps you and I could serve different purposes for the mistress. I am an information gatherer. You, I think, are a gatherer of broken bones.
Yes. But we would both be waiting for the mistress to return.
Of course. Und, on the other hand, is somewhat noticeable even in a busy town.
I think Und would appreciate his freedom in a way that would allow us to go our separate ways quietly.
As for the goblin, I leave that to your judgment. He is very enthusiastic, but I'm not sure how easy your transition will be with him becking at your heels.
I will talk to him. So I'm going to go over to Gold Toes.
He's just carving his name over and over and over in this wooden table in Goblin.
I'm going to bring out my obsidian boomerang and carefully inscribe a copy of his name.
He looks at you, and he just has this, like, yellow teeth, like, very discolored gums. He's smiling, just beaming at you, like...
I want to thank you very much for your help. It means so much to me. Do you have a family you want to go back to?
He thinks for a moment. There's the tribe.
Do you miss your tribe?
He nods. He looks sad at the about.
I would ask you to follow me and the lady, but I do know that one can miss their tribe. I miss my tribe. If I still had my tribe, I would go back to it.
He looks at you. Where your tribe?
My tribe is long dead.
My tribe died, but new tribe take me.
You can do that, because you are a goblin. And all goblins love all goblins. And I will be sad if you go, but I understand that you must go back to your tribe.
He makes this hand gesture that's known to all people of Orinel. You basically take all of your fingers and spread them apart and offer them. Mm-hmm. Orinel are one people.
Orinel are one people.
And then you bring all your fingers together. You will find new tribe.
I will find new tribe.
I go visit my tribe, and then I will come back to the lady.
Thank you very much.
He seems quite happy with the arrangement.
All right. Oh, would you mind helping Und? Because Und may not be able to find his way out of the city.
He looks at Und. I help Und.
Thank you very much.
Und will be happy with my tribe. They like ogres. Mm. Keeping in mind that in Orinel, all creatures are respected. Creatures that in other worlds would be considered monstrous. Ogres are rare, but they're not necessarily going to be pointed at and treated badly. Mm-hmm. That said, a giant cannibal ogre is going to stand out in most places.
I'm going to go up to the upper deck and talk to Burr.
Okay. You find Burr is paying no attention to anything going on. He seems to be whittling when you find him on deck. The sails are still completely put away. You find no evidence he did any kind of rigging. And the ship is moving at a steady clip in a straight line towards the coast, which is now much closer and a great deal more detailed.
All right, Asper, can I look around at the boat? Seems to be some sort of contraption of the gnomes.
It's a gnome engine.
Is it steerable in any way? Or is it just go to one place?
He gestures for you to come over.
Right.
Look, this is... Okay. I don't know how it works, 100%. I know the gnomes made it, but if you turn the wheel, it will take you that direction, and then it just keeps going. I've had it go for 3 days, but that was an accident. I fell asleep. But yeah, it you know, you can steer if you want to, but I, you know, I have other things to do with my time.
All right, so I'm going to look at the shoreline.
Okay.
Can I make out any like buildings or bridges or anything like that?
Give me a perception check. You do have disadvantage on this as it is night.
10 and 18. So 10 perception, 13.
Okay. You're still pretty far away. You make out some kind of large structure, and you do see like beacons of light, possibly a lighthouse. You're White Cliffs of Dover in a bit here. You're on the ferry. You can't quite see what it is. You're pretty much aware of where Vespok Fortress is in the world and where this boat is headed. You are likely going towards Eel Snout, which you haven't seen in 12 years.
What is my memory of Eel Snout?
Eel Snout, when you last saw it, was basically the remains of a fallen deity. When the gods' war occurred, the goddess of the sea, Kunwen, was killed by an army of some 100,000 orcs who just speared her over and over until she finally died. They then proceeded to feast on her for years, and they hollowed out her bones and formed a city. One of the people living in Eel Snout is a very influential figure in the world. She commands a great deal of respect, although she has no official position.
Mm-hmm.
That would be Jaka. She is a orc woman of great distinction and power. She also likes to thumb her nose at authority to remind people that they do not have an official place over her. She's also known to, take care of her people well.
Let's see. What do I recall being next to the coastline to Eel Snout?
Next to the coastline?
If I was to go to the right or the left of Eel Snout.
To the right or the left of Eel Snout. Well, keeping in mind that the coastline changed a bit after the God's War, there's not a lot, to be honest. There's the Long Dark, which is a tunnel, an underwater tunnel that is used for transporting goods to Bluestone. If you were to go inland, there are a few places one might seek. But other than that, you basically have not much but the Plains of Ash, and only a fool would try to cross those on foot without being well prepared for it.
So Eel Snout it is.
I forgot to mention, and I apologize, the water that you're passing through is completely gray. It's this sickly, it's like a 3-day-old dead fish.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to touch it, it would smear. It's not clear at all. It's opaque.
That's what happens when you kill the god of the sea. Goddess of the sea.
And you have a multiple apocalyptic level of eruptions. Yeah, the water is not pleasant to look at and is usually avoided by most people when they can.
Mm-hmm. No swimming.
Oh, people swim in it. The orcs have a very nice salvage business going, because there are a massive number of shipwrecks that they're harvesting. But, no one swims in it except them. You'd have to be crazy.
You'd have to be crazy.
You continue sailing. Is there anything else that you wish to do aside from peruse the coastline?
I'd like to look back at where I left.
Oh, okay. So you look back and you see Vespok Fortress. It is, it's a good bit closer, so you can definitely get more detail. You see the raised structure of the fortress itself, which stands on, it looks like part of this island collapsed, so there is now a bridge connecting the two parts. The bridge leads across to this miserable-looking, dilapidated village. Looks like it was pretty much destroyed in some kind of storm. You see, torches and signs of light, but no alarms have been raised, so clearly. Is there anything else that you would like to do?
I'd like to just sit on the deck and enjoy the sunrise.
Okay. So Burr goes back to whittling. So when we get there, they're going to ask you questions, probably.
What sort of answers should we give?
That's what I think we should talk about. Do you have any money?
I have things that may be convertible into money, but no cash on me.
Ah. I was gonna say we could maybe try to bribe our way past the Doc Master. Sometimes you get lucky, but they're probably gonna want to know why the boat doesn't have any supplies or guards or. Normally, when I go back, I'm bringing, stuff to and from.
Do we have to stop the dock? A sandy beach is just as good for me.
If you want me to put you off on the shore, I can, but...
Actually, that would be preferable.
Alright, you're the boss. He goes over and adjusts the wheel of the ship, and you start to list to the left. A little bit more than you might have wanted to. You kind of see the deck sag a bit. He quickly, whoa, it's okay. Look, nothing against you or your friends. I'm happy to do this for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to end up back in that place in a cell. So, and I don't want you to hurt me. So how do I, if I leave you on the shore, we're good, right?
We're good.
All right, you're sure. I don't...
So long as you never speak of this night to anyone, you have nothing to fear.
If I ever spoke of this to anyone, I would be in more trouble than you.
Good, then there's a face on both sides of that coin, then.
Right around... you can tell that, it's the very few hours before dawn, sun has not quite peeked out from beyond the shore. Your boat starts to hit the surf, and this thing, it went from a fairly smooth, pleasant journey to a very rocky and unpleasant one.
Mm-hmm.
Burr is trying to keep the ship steady as he can. You hear Burr and Und just vomiting copiously beneath the deck.
I go down to dump out Und's bucket.
Oh, it's overflowed. There's just, vomit everywhere. Dot Poddledanger and Goldtoes are basically standing on the table, just like, that carpet is ruined.
You two come on up here.
They come up immediately and look at sure. It's like, this is the first time you've seen Ornell,
mm-hmm.
and it is as bad as you remember it. The sand is completely gray. It's stained. It's, just years of that water washing over it and left it almost unrecognizable. You do see Eel Snout in greater detail. And you can tell that it is just as strange as when you left it. You'd have to get a bit closer to get a better idea of what they did to it. But, a city that was built out of a giant god corpse is usually going to stand up. Burr gestures towards the coast. I can't... Look. I don't have much, but you can have this. This is all I have to give you. And he will offer you a stick of dried meat and 5 of those flimsy strips of paper that you've been seeing around.
So 5 paper and some meat. All right. I thank him.
Good luck. I hope sincerely that I never see you again.
Und, it's time to get off this vomit-inducing vessel.
Und goes right over the side. You don't know if he was going for just a straight head into the water maneuver, but he just splashes down, comes up, sputter. It's got all that water up his nose and his mouth. And this water tastes bad.
Don't drink it then.
You drink the water. He starts wading into shore.
Und, hold on for a moment there. We'd like to, if you could carry us on your shoulders.
We're a little one.
Little one will meet up with us later. She and the light have gone a different way.
5 gold.
How about some meat?
Human meat?
It's definitely not chicken.
Deal. He just starts, like, tearing it into shreds. He'll wait for you to, like, climb aboard.
All right, we clamber aboard the Und.
Goltos has no problem doing that. He just climbs right up on the shoulder. Puddledanger is going to assume the form of a very bedraggled-looking human.
Mm-hmm.
Und easily carries the three of you into shore. You do get some of that nasty water. You're wet, but not soaked. He immediately deposits you in the sand when you are not in the water anymore.
Mm-hmm. Und, you may follow me, but it is your choice. You are free to go, and Gold Toes would like to introduce you to one of his tribe.
Where you go.
Then you will follow me. We may follow me into death, you may follow me into the light. But if you follow me, you will follow me forever. That may not be freedom to you. I am giving you this choice, this one time.
He looks at you. I go north. Watch out for the red eyes. And he just picks up Goldtoes. Where we go? Puts them on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Goldtoes starts giving him directions, and they start walking north.
I go to Puddledanger and say, it's going to be a little bit easier to blend in.
I think this is where I'll part ways with you as well. My friend the boatman and I have an arrangement, but I will return to you soon.
And do you remember where you're going to meet me?
As I said, I am a gatherer of information, and one of your reputation and appearance will not be hard to find.
Well, I will leave that as a challenge to you.
I will seek you out when I have something to offer of value, my friend.
All right.
He goes to give you a big ol' hug.
Bigger, bigger, bigger.
All right. Burr's like, come on, quit. Look, I'm not waiting for that. No, get on. We got a long trip. He just goes swimming back through that water, that nasty water, and climbs up a rope ladder that Burr unfurls. And you see them go along the coast, the opposite direction from where you saw Goldtoes and Und treading off. So you are, after a moment, for the first time in years, you are truly alone on this coast.
I take in a good deep breath of the stinky, salty air, and I'm glad of it.
So what's the plan?
I'm going to walk towards Eelsnow.
Okay. So
along the coast, looking for any paths that could lead on to larger roads.
So you don't see any paths. More or less, you know that the gods war destroyed anything that could so generously be referred to as a path. You don't even see any old footprints. As you come closer to Eelsnout, you see that, like, you know, Goliaths are not known for building walls. They're, you know, a nomadic people, usually. But there's something off about the walls of this city. You're not sure what it is. You do see that an enormous head, probably about the size of two or three of the fortress you just left, has been completely laid bare of any flesh or muscle,
mm-hmm.
and just white bone. A enormous jaw hangs open. You see ships resting within it, and lights shining out of its eyes as the, like, makeshift lighthouses.
Mm-hmm.
Before, they don't seem to be pointed inland, so there's no danger of them noticing you. You can tell that it's going to be difficult to, like, slip in here unnoticed. It definitely seems like a place that's on alert.
Well, I'm going to go inland a bit and kind of, like, try to go around the area.
Okay.
And see if there's any major road going into this that I could slip in with groups of other people, like, going into trade, or if there's a main entrance, as opposed to, like, trying to sneak in through the side.
Okay. So, as you get closer and closer to this place, you see that the walls are enormous strips of leather that have just been stretched taut between these big wooden towers. You're not sure what kind of thing this leather was made of, but it doesn't seem to mind that it's been exposed to, again, you know, all the things that are bad for anything. They're basically, you can also see that it's not just like over the ground, this thing's been buried, so you're not sure how deep you'd have to dig to get under it. There is a makeshift gate. It looks to be a bunch of rib bones that have been tethered together, and you see more bones that each one of them seems to have orcs patrolling over top. None of them take notice of you because you are pretty good at doing your recon.
Yep.
You don't see any other travelers coming in or out of the city.
Is it still dark?
It is now just, you have maybe an hour before dawn at this point.
Well, I'm going to see if there's any, like, dune or rise that I can get behind and continue observing.
Okay.
Out of direct sight of the guards.
How far are you wandering inland, willing to wander inland to stay outside, away from the guards?
I would like to stay about 300 yards, so about 3 football field lengths.
Okay. So you wander inland, and you get away from, you know, and there's no way the guards are going to see you. They'd have to have the best vision in the world at this point, especially because you have your ghillie cloak. And then you start to hear a sound that you haven't heard in more than a decade. You hear these horrible, keening wails just echoing, and they just seem to come from all around you. Just, and you see the ash that is laying over the ground start to shift, and things start to form out of it.
I have a sigh and go further inland. I go back towards the walls of the city. These things are still here? Crap.
The screaming does not stop. It seems to increase in intensity, and you can hear shambling footsteps following you at a steady pace. You find that the gates are just being opened. There are a pair of orcs armed with exceptionally longbows and spears. Are you trying to avoid being noticed at this point, or are you moving?
I'm going to take a look behind me to see how far away the ash creatures are.
The nearest one of the 30 that are now following you is about 20 feet behind you. It looks like one of the legs of ash and bone that have reassembled itself is not helping it, and the other ones are just crawling after you. One of them seems to be a giant snake.
Well, I'm going to make a more hurried clip towards the gate.
The guards see you approaching. Each of them, they are wearing leather armor, leather pants, leather boots. They are very tough. You've been a soldier. You know professional soldiers when you see them. And seeing you approach, one of them draws a longbow on you. The other, holding this very long, very unpleasant-looking spear, holding this very long pike that has a head in the shape of a marlin, is going to level at you. What's your business?
I would like to enter the city.
You got papers?
I hold out the 5 papers.
The bribe?
I'm from far away. This is the only paper that I have.
How'd you get here?
I came on a boat. Dropping off at the shore.
A boat. From where?
From my glacier. Far to the north. I was told to come down here and establish trade with this city of yours.
Give me a deception check. I'm going to say you have advantage on this.
19?
Damn!
And a 1.
Extreme high and just terrible. Okay. What's your bonus to deception?
2. So 21.
Okay. Let's see how smart this guard is. The creatures are still approaching behind you, by the way. your people have boats? I thought you were, like, mountain dwellers and raiders. I thought you all died.
We can hire boats.
From who? Goblins. You stole the boat, didn't you?
If I stole the boat, I'd still have the boat.
It's too early for this. Alright.
Do you need me to help you fight these creatures?
Oh, no, we got them. Go inside, don't go anywhere. We gotta deal with them. You woke them up.
Alright, I'm gonna go inside and observe as they fight these creatures. See how techniques may have changed in the last 10 years.
So, the one that has... And by the way, he was drawn the whole time, just like, yep, you can die anytime. He just turns, looses, and starts drawing and loosing shot after shot at these things. It doesn't seem to be killing them, but they seem to hesitate whenever an arrow hits them.
Mm-hmm.
The orc who was talking to you steps inside and wheels out a long length of hose and proceeds to just start hosing these creatures down as they come near. And whenever one gets close enough that he can, he drops the hose and just pikes it through the head. And it just seems to dissipate back into a mound of wet ash. Mm-hmm. He hoses down the ash from any of the dead ones immediately. If you're going to travel here in the future, doing it on foot's a good way to die.
I can tell.
Now, you said you're here to establish trade?
Yes.
With Eelsnout?
Yes. We wanted to make sure that there were even cities down here. We'd heard there was one. And this is a strangely shaped city. What is this made out of? I'm, like, acting all, like...
Leather.
Where did you find a creature this big to make the leather out of?
We killed it. You heard of... They point towards the head of the fallen goddess. This is Kunwin's skin. After we ate the meat, we needed something to keep the creatures out, so we used the last sea god's gift to make the walls. We make the best leather in the world.
This is impressive. We have only few stories that end up north at our glacier of other places. I am in awe.
So, what is it that you're coming to trade?
I bring out my obsidian boomerang.
A rock?
Hold up a piece of hide.
They produce a piece of leather from their pocket?
I show the surgically sharp blade of the obsidian cutting through it effortlessly like butter.
That would happen, but it doesn't even bite.
What is this stuff?
It's orc leather. I told you, it's the best leather in the world.
Do you have something that is not made out of orc leather?
Your people don't get out much, do they?
No.
Do you have anything else to trade?
Let's see. I bring out the Trident of Fish Command.
Stick.
Oh. Are there any... Do-do-do? Right. Okay, and then I bring out my... Oh, actually, I show him... I demonstrate my ghillie cloak.
What do you do?
Well, since it's designed to look like a small building. Mm-hmm. I go over to one of the leather walls and, like, assume the shape of, like, a small shed that's been attached to the wall.
You hear a couple. That's pretty good!
Yep. It is a technique of disguise that we have learned, because we are so large we can't just sneak around in the shadows. We must make the shadows for ourselves.
That could come in handy to certain people. Who are you planning to trade with?
This is the first time my glacier has even made contact with your city, so I would not even begin to know.
Well, what are you looking for? Food? Weapons? Armor?
We have weapons and armor, and as you can see...
They look at your clothes. You don't look like you have armor.
Oh, we have disguise. But we have thick skin, and what we do need up north is food.
We're the only ones brave enough to fish in these waters.
And fish is something that I do like, my tribe does like.
Well, I mean, I'm just a rip runner. I can't help you out with arranging a meet, but look, you're going to get in trouble if you go walking around without papers, so...
How do I get these papers?
You got to speak to someone who can draw you up some travel papers. They just identify that you've accepted the responsibility. Anyone can give them to you, but you might have some trouble getting them since you just wandered in from the middle of nowhere. I can't really help you out too much. If you go, just follow the road.
Mm-hmm.
You notice the road appears to be made of bits of ground up bone. It's kind of a pebble path of bone. You could try the fish market. Someone might see, or the harbor. There's always people looking offload. Don't tell the gnomes why you're here. That's all I can tell you, because they're not going to like you one bit.
What are gnomes? We don't have any gnomes up north.
They're short, little hairy people.
Are they like pets?
No, they pretty much. Yeah, they're like pets. Greedy pets that want all your food. They're not going to like you guys coming to take their bits. We've got deals with them. So just, you know, don't ruffle any feathers. Don't cause any problems. We don't want to have to hurt you.
All right. I'm going to proceed along the path. Thank you very much for your information.
You're welcome. Enjoy Eel Snout!
Eel Snout. That's a good name for a city.
And that is where we will leave you on the path of Eel Snout. Until next time, everybody, play more games and be safe, and we will return soon with more Wanted in Ornell and find out if the other two characters in this campaign have drowned.